All right, so we are in Proverbs chapter 21, and we left off with verse 24 last week, and that brings us to verse 25 and 26 this week. We'll pass the turtle around.
Verse 25?
25 and 26, please. 26,
okay. For the desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare.
What kind of actions are we describing here?
Greed.
Yeah, greed. Selfish.
Lazy.
Lazy. I like it when the Proverbs, we don't really have to explain them, right? We can just go straight to the categories and say, yeah.
So 25 and 26.
Yep, 25 and 26. We've got greed, selfish. What else did you say?
Lazy.
Lazy.
Sluggard. There's also giving, though, the righteous.
That's right. 25 and 26 in righteous. What did you think about pride? All right. Verse 27.
The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind?
Hmm. Does anyone have another word for how much he brings it with a wicked mind?
Intent.
A wicked intent.
Evil intention.
So what are we saying here?
They can make a sacrifice, but...
But
it's going to be an abomination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It isn't going to be accepted.
It isn't going to be affected. Yeah, or accepted.
So the sacrifice, when they're talking about sacrifice...
So at this time, you had the tabernacle... And you were, King Solomon was in the process of building the temple, right, back in that time. And so they would still bring their sacrifices. They would bring the lambs, or they would bring the goats, or they would bring the bull. And they would still do sacrifices daily, weekly, monthly, and during the high seasons. So those sacrifices, you had duty to bring those, right? Well, if you were, what is it we say? I live like Jesus on Sunday and like a hellion Monday through Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So an evil person coming on the day of sacrifice to bring a sacrifice wasn't acceptable. Just because you brought a sacrifice doesn't mean that that just cleaned y'all up, because it was really... The sacrifice was a matter of the heart, not necessarily that you were physically doing it,
okay.
Right? It also mattered what was in your heart.
Okay.
Are you giving this to God, or are you just doing it to show?
Expression.
Do what?
Outward expression.
Yes, an outward expression, not an inward desire.
So it's offensive to God. Like one also says... unacceptable and insulting to God, because you're just coming just because.
Right.
And of course, some of these people
were
sacrificing their kids, babies, kids, children.
I think the second part means even worse. I'm gonna do this project because I'm gonna look good for my boss, and it's kind of insulting to your boss because she knows you're just doing it to get kudos, right? And that's the first part. But the second part is, if you're doing it for, I really want to beat that person because I don't want them to get a promotion. I want me to get the promotion. Mm-hmm. That's an evil intent. That's even worse, right?
That's prideful self.
Right. I think that's a very good example in this. Yeah. Good job. So what other categories can we add this to? Greed and disrespect, so that's verse 27.
I had it when going back to the heart situation. I put it under heart, and then I also put it under wicked.
Good.
Lying. Selfish. Coveting, I guess, if you're holding back for yourself and not giving your first or your best, like the sacrifice requires, your first fruits or your best wool.
Could you also include in there illusion?
Yeah, you definitely would.
Yeah.
No, you forgot. I forgot about evil and death.
Yeah, evil and death. Yep. All right. Verse 28.
A false witness shall perish, but a man that heareth speaketh constantly. False witness shall perish, but a man that hears speaks constantly.
Mine says speak endlessly.
Yeah, so in the NIV, it also adds a footnote to this. So in the NIV, it reads this, a false witness will perish, and whoever listens to him will be destroyed forever. But the words of an obedient man will live on. That's part that was added in the Septuagint portion of the Old Testament. So remember the Septuagint written after they came out of exile in Babylon, and during, you know, when Nehemiah went back and built the temple, or built the walls rather, and they came back and no one could read Hebrew, so they wrote it in this Greek format. So the idea that the words of an obedient man will live on, that's the endless conversation.
Truth does still go on and speak forever, but in these days it does go challenged.
Yeah, it does. So what categories can we add verse 28 to? Yep.
Illusion.
Good.
Fool.
Yes. Fool.
Instruction.
Bad instruction.
What?
Bad instruction.
Yeah, bad.
Death.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I put it under obedience, only because if you're looking at it and truth, you know, I looked at it from the opposites. right? These are terrible things, and we don't really want to do that. And what is the opposite of those? Looking for truth and following the truth, doing the obedient thing rather than following false things, and being discerning about the things that I'm listening to and the things that I'm hearing and the people I'm going to say associate with, and how I do things, because I don't want to be led down this path of just being destroyed. You know, I want to be obedient. I want to have my words live on, right?
Accountability.
Yeah, good. That would be good.
I would say that as a false teaching.
Yep.
Those who teach will be held more accountable.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right, verse 29.
A wicked man puts on a bold face, but as for the upright, he considers strokes and establishes his way with the confidence of integrity.
Good. Pride.
Second, or obedient.
Obedient, 29. Mm-hmm.
Wicked.
Yeah.
You know, death.
Yeah.
Puts on a bold face. That being a lying?
Yes.
Illusion.
Illusion. That'd be more illusion, yeah. Lying would work, but illusion also.
Yeah.
What about righteous?
The righteous.
An upright man?
In plans or pathways?
Plans? Or path? Yep.
I think it alludes to the idea that making a good or like morally right decision takes a little more work than just a wicked decision, really, isn't it? By the way,
got to think through it.
Especially for us.
Yeah, got to think through it. Sometimes a decision on the surface looks like a good idea, but then once you kick the good idea fairy off your shoulder and you actually start paying attention to it, and you put a little more thought into it, you realize, ooh, maybe that's not a good idea. Sometimes the good idea fairy gets us in trouble.
Yeah, it's only benefiting us.
What about faithfulness? For verse 29?
Yeah, one of the explanations in mind for he directs is to remain stable, to stand erect. So,
yeah. Almost a firm foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could add that, 29, so firm foundation. Standing erect, being held. All right, verse 30.
There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a funny verse in my head, because 21 chapters we read before are teaching us to do these things. And it's like, if we do have these,
yeah,
it ain't going to do you crap against the Lord, because it'll punch you more than you.
That's a good way to look at it.
That's awesome.
I'm going to put that in the Antichrist category. Against obedience.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
like when the Lord asked Peter, if he will stay with him. Basically, Peter remarked back, "Who have we but you and your righteousness? His ways are the only way. There is no one else but you."
Yeah. So what categories can we assign this truth to? I hardly want to call it a proverb, because it is such a truthful statement.
Sovereign God.
Yeah, sovereign God.
I was going to say all of part 7.
Holy God, sovereign God, wise God.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Compassionate God, omniscient. Yeah, all knowing. Just as a side note, do we all know what omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent mean?
No.
Omniscient is all knowing. So it's so the way you spell it, you omni, O N M I, right?
No,
O M N I. I can't really spell, so that's a bad thing for me. But the last part of that word is science, and that's the way I always remember that, what it means, because science is something about knowledge. So omniscient, which is a science, omniscience, all-knowing. Omnipotent, if you think of something that is potent, that's the end of that word, omni, P-O-T-E-N-T, potent, so omnipotent. I think of that as very strong, right? And then when you get to omnipresent, always present, everywhere at the same time. God is large, right? He's bigger than our imagination. And God is where you are at work at the same time that he's where I am at work. At the same time that he's where you are in a car, as to where somebody else is. I mean, he's always present. So that's the way I think of those, just as a side note, just in this. And that's why nothing can get by him, right? He's always there. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing, and he's all-powerful. They're just giant church words, but I learned how to spell some of them.
Hey, you know what they mean. That's more important.
That's right. So what other categories? I mean, we hit holy God, sovereign, compassionate, wise God.
What about gift from God?
Yeah, there you go. Gift from God. Verse 30.
Could even go with humility.
Yeah,
I think I read that verse and I'm automatically humbled, you know. I think sometimes I'm even humbled on behalf of others who think they're trying to get away with something, right? Or if they, you know, they're
prideful side. That's kind of how I see it. It's like Satan, when he challenged God, you know, thinking he was smarter or better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More than the negative side of it.
Mm-hmm. So coupled with this verse, but I kept it separate in our conversation, is verse 31.
Yeah.
A horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory comes from the Lord.
Good verse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what are we talking about here?
Prepare to be prepared.
Be prepared.
Well, I was going to say a horse.
Yeah.
We're a lot closer to the horse than we are God, so
yeah, I think
it's true. A humbling verse in that aspect.
I think we can also feel like we've prepared adequately, and it doesn't matter, because God's... You know, God's
still his victory.
still has victory.
Yeah, no matter what we do.
I mean, not that we shouldn't prepare, but...
We should prepare spiritually.
Yes.
But anything we prepare physically and tangibly is a little consequence.
It's like when the Israelites, when they disobey, I just read one last night, they disobey, they didn't go into Canaan like they were supposed to because they were all scared. So God had told them to go take care of the Amorites. They didn't do that. So then you told them to turn around and go back and go wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, then they were like, oh, we're so sorry. We've sinned against the Lord. So they prepared for battle. They went to battle against the Amorites. God told them not to, because I'm not with you. And, of course, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no plan can succeed against the Lord. So what categories can we assign this to? Being the fact that we do need to be prepared, but we also need to seek God.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Commitment.
Commitment. Instruction. Counsel. Obedience. I'd say firm foundation, too, because we know that He does always.
I also read this in the light of God's sovereignty and His holiness. It doesn't matter that I have a plan to whatever, right? It is God who's going to have the victory. I can share my testimony with someone, but ultimately, I'm prepared to share my testimony with someone, but ultimately, it is God who has the victory. And I need to be prepared to do those things. I have to prepare the horse, right? I have to prepare to go and be an example. But it's God's plan. And it's not me getting them saved. It's me sharing a testimony, sharing what God has done in my life. But it is God who wins that victory. And it is God who changes their heart. And it is God who masterfully fixes all of that.
Put on the full armor of God.
And what does He tell us to do when we put on the full armor of God?
Stand.
Exactly.
Stand firm.
We are to stand firm. It does not say anything about fight.
Uh-uh.
It's be prepared with the helmet, be prepared with the breastplate, be prepared with the gauntlets, be prepared with the sword, be prepared with your feet. And we are to stand. Do you know how hard that is? That's hard. And we want to fight. And it is not our job. Because God said, you stand. And I, just like your example with the Amorites, He told them to go into Canaan. And I will give you victory. There was no question about it. God said, you go, I'll give you victory. What were they going to do? Stand, bring the Ark of the Covenant out. God goes out and takes care of it. He did that in the past, right? We're just called to stand. So we do all of this, we learn all of this Christian stuff, and then all of a sudden we put on our armor and we just have to look around at each other, shoulder to shoulder.
We're going to do that here. When we all come back on the white horses with Him. We're just prepared for battle, but we don't do anything. We just ride.
Yep, just ride.
He does it all. That is really awesome.
Yeah. Good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this takes us into chapter 22. Anybody need a new sheet? Want a new sheet?
No.
All right.
Anybody else want one?
And also, it talks about standing firm in 2 Thessalonians 2.
What's it say?
It says, that we all always give thanks to God for you, brothers, your life by the Lord, because God chooses you as the first fruits to be saved through sacrifice, sanctification by the Spirit, and belief in the truth. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold on to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by a spoken word or by a letter.
Very good.
So that's also talking about, goes in, so if you go to Ephesians 6, it talks about put the armor of God on and standing firm, and then you go to 2 Thessalonians, like, verse 13 talks about standing firm too, so
yeah.
You put them together, God tells us to stand firm.
Yeah. Good job. All right, so Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, they go together. And I will say this, chapter 22, as we get further down into it, we're going to get into this section called Sayings of the Wise. So instead of single verse ideas of Proverbs and wisdom, we're going to get conversation of wisdom, okay? Oh. So that's coming up. Not yet, but we get a pre-look at that. You know, we've kind of done that with one or two verses here and there. But this chapter kind of begins a turning point in where we are in Proverbs, where we're going to start having conversations about wise things. So Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, please.
Good name is to be chosen over great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. And rich and poor have this in common. The Lord makes them all.
Okay. So what are we talking about here?
A good name over riches. That might be like your integrity.
Your integrity? Good. That's a good category we could add. Integrity. If you do have new sheets, remember our write-in. Our write-in words are integrity, selfish, blessing, accountability, and forgiveness. I will add one more as I was looking last night. Generosity. We'll add that one to the list.
In category 4?
Anywhere you can fit it in, quite frankly. Yeah, generosity. So verse 1 and 2. Where can we put this?
Integrity.
Integrity. We've got that one.
Sovereign God, who made us all.
Yeah, sovereign God. I started with a gift from God, mm-hmm. You know, and I also included it as influence. Basically, verse 2 says that there is no difference between anyone, rich or poor. Fill in whatever contrast you want to put in there. God made them all.
I think it also speaks to our path.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Commitment.
Our commitment. Path. What about money?
Yeah.
Puts money in perspective.
It puts money in perspective, puts the riches that you have in perspective as to what it's worth.
Partial ability, too.
Mm-hmm.
satisfied with what I have. I don't mean what everybody else has. Mm-hmm. I'm getting caught up in materialism.
Good. Humility.
Marty's contentment.
Contentment. Okay, so I'll say this. Verses 3 and 5 go together. 4 is kind of in the middle. I couldn't... it just seemed like it was something completely different. So let's take 3 and 5 together.
A sensible person sees danger and takes cover, but the inexperienced keeps going and are punished. There are thorns and snares on the way of the crooked, but... The one who guards himself stays far away from
them. Okay. And if you don't like them together, we can talk about them separate. But I kind of felt like they went together.
The first thing that comes to my mind is, this movie's kind of evil, but that'll be okay. Mm-hmm. But a wise person protects themselves from watching things they shouldn't be watching on TV or movies or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's a good example.
Those who are caught in the thorns, verse 3 it says inexperienced, but in verse 5 it says the crooked. So it's not necessarily that we're all evil, but like sometimes it just takes a little bit of correction versus they're lost.
Yeah. Good.
I think it kind of goes along with birds of a feather flock together, too. Like, well, that's not exactly what I meant. I can't think of what I meant. But if you could go with a bad group, if you're going with a bad group, you know they're doing something wrong, you're to get far away.
Pick your friends carefully. In other
words. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think you and I left out, right?
Do what?
Dr. McCarlin?
Yeah.
He told me, this verse kind of spinger. The person you hang out with is the person you're going to become.
Yeah, the people that you hang with are the people you become.
Yeah.
That's a good...
So, it took me as a life lesson. Life verse to remember, so.
Good. So what categories can we add... Or can we assign verses 3 and 5 to?
I'm thinking influence.
Influence? Good.
Obedience.
Obedience.
Yes, that too. And then thinking path.
Path?
Yeah, I know I said that.
What about faithfulness?
Discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Discernment?
Yeah.
Self-control?
Mm-hmm.
And what about a firm foundation?
Mm-hmm.
In that he who guards his soul stays far away from them. You have some instruction on how to save your soul, right? I mean, you have some direction as to you don't need to be going that way.
I want to say contentment and truth.
Yeah. Okay.
The truth is to myself. The contentment is I'm happy and I don't have to take that risk. I don't see a need that I'm going to get ahead by taking that risk. Risky, you're usually risking finance, wealth, or well-being or something to get ahead, taking the shortcut.
Good. I like that. So let's go back to verse 4.
Sorry.
turtle was a little slow.
You can't read unless you have the turtle. You got to pass it.
I wasn't sure which one read less. I'm looking for it. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Mm.
So what are we talking about here?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Obedience.
Formula.
Yeah, pretty much. The fear of the Lord. Wealth, honor, and life. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord, plus knowledge and understanding.
Yeah.
It's at the top of the sheet.
Okay, I was like, where'd you
I got called out in church a couple weeks ago. And I completely, I don't, something about me.
Right question, though.
Yeah. We'll say that. Yeah.
He asked what is knowledge, right?
Yes.
And the thing is, what is wisdom?
Yeah. What is, he asked, what is the fear of the Lord?
Oh, that's right.
He asked, what's the fear of the Lord? And, of course, in our equation up here,
it's,
it doesn't work. Right. And I was like, ah.
Self-control.
Yep. There you go.
Humility.
Self-control, humility, obedience.
I'm a counsel.
You go. Counsel.
Salvation.
Definitely salvation.
What about instruction?
Yep, you could do that. I added it to grace and honor.
That's true. Yeah, you answered my question. Oh, we get the time version Bible.
Sounds like Cody just walked in. All right, so verse 6.
Train a child in the way he ought to live, and he will remember even when he's old.
Very good. So what are we talking about here?
Instruction.
Firm foundation 6. Chapter 22, verse 6. Could you put this under parents and children?
Yeah.
Parenting, definitely. It's a promise for parents when we train them. Right? If we train them in the things of the Lord, then they eventually, even though they walk away, we have a promise that they're going to remember.
Neighbors. I'm thinking that in the church sets what responsibility we have with other people's children.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Guiding them. The church family, if you will.
The church family. Good. I know when Crystal and I had the girls at home, and whenever we had to give some instruction or discipline, the very first words that would come out of our mouth were, "I love you." Right? So I included this in under love. I included this under patience because it requires an awful lot of patience to actually discipline someone. You think about that from God's perspective. I don't understand why he puts up with the things I do, right? I mean, we can all say that. And we all know what our I mean, we all have our outside person that we present to everyone, but it's our inside person that he sees, right? It's who we are, our intent, our inside. And he looks at us and he goes, what are you doing? Right? But he says that to me a lot. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And he still loves me. He still loves you, right? It, regardless.
I wonder if he says that when I'm driving. What are you doing?
Yeah, I bet he does.
So if you're doing that to a child, then you would show mercy and grace.
You are. That's right. Mercy and grace.
Instruction.
Yep, instruction.
You're honoring God.
Yes.
And you're honoring God. You're teaching them. The biggest thing is we're teaching them how to honor, right? Good.
Under self-control, too.
Yeah. Under self-control. I guess in the light of training your children, it does require self-control, doesn't it? You can't just go...
Also, bitch.
Can't go screaming at them. I have a note in my Bible from a pastor a very long time ago. And this verse reads, train a child in the way he should go. And the pastor made the statement, he goes, parents, you need to know your children well enough to know how they learn. Not just that you're teaching them something, but how is it that they learn? Right? It's actually having a relationship and knowing something about your children rather than just teaching them, obey God, get saved, don't drink, don't smoke, and don't do other things. It's actually, how does my child learn so that I can help them understand having a relationship? How do I teach them that? How are they going to learn that? What's the best way for me to present that? Because all three of our girls learn things differently, all three of them. Some have to do it, some just have to hear it, and some just had to experience it, right?
They also learn by example.
And they learn by example.
You can tell them everything, but if you're not doing the things you're telling them or asking them or teaching them, then what speaks louder?
Oh, my actions speak an awful lot louder than words, yeah. Right? Yeah. They.
Mm-hmm. So are we influencing them to the ways of being righteous?
We.
So that they will return to righteousness?
Yes. That example, that influence.
I think we're also, as parents, or like you said,
we should strive to be. Let me clarify that.
Yeah, I know.
We should strive to do that. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think we're also called, and I think this is sometimes where we, as parents, get hung up. We're also called, going back to what you said, knowing the child well enough as a parent to know that we can't put them in a box God didn't intend them to be in, you know? So, you know, we may be expecting something out of the child that it's like, okay, this isn't what God has for them. We can say, oh, you're going to do this and go do this and da-da-da-da-da-da, but maybe that's not the path God had for them, you know? And I think we as parents, sometimes we, like I said, we fail to notice the things that God has for them that, you know, we, I don't know how to say it. I'm not saying it very well. But, yeah, I think we put them in a box they're not supposed to be in anyways. Mm-hmm. So we can do that very easily. They need to do X, Y, Z, and God wants them to do A, B, and C instead, you know. So, or we're forcing them to do X, Y, Z.
Mercy and grace on our part when you love your child and you take the time to learn that. You know, to learn how they learn best.
Yeah.
You care that.
It's not to say you're loosey-goosey parents either, right?
No, I mean, no.
Ooh, let Johnny run free. No. because Johnny will run in the street and get hurt, right?
I think it kind of relates back to ourselves, though. Like, it's like, I mean, I'm an parent, you know, but, like, you know, God, like, you know, he tells us, like, there have been several times where, like, you know, the Lord's like, don't do this or don't do that. And sometimes it is just, like, you know, him just saying it enough for us to be like, okay, I'm not going to mess with that. Or sometimes it's us actually doing it and making mistakes and doing those things. Like, you know, it's like a parent, like, you know, like when I was a teenager, I'd do some pretty crazy things. And my dad told me from the beginning, don't do that. I'm like, well, who cares? I'm young. I can do whatever I want. You know, I come calling back and I was like, you know, you were right. And he's like, yeah, I was.
That's good. Yeah, I was. That's awesome. Well, we'll stop there tonight. So as we look at our sheets, kind of where have we been this evening? What have we been talking about mostly? Talked about children. Where have we been tonight?
We've been in that obedience a lot.
Yeah, we have. Obedience.
Consequences.
Yep, consequences.
I think applying understanding. We hear instruction. How do we pass it on to others? And how do we apply that to our lives?
Good.
Yep. That's
a good summary. I like that.
Well, let's pray on that. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for this evening that we have been able to just again walk through your word and take it verse by verse and talk about all of these concepts that you have for us in our life. Lord, we thank you that you are truly God. Pray, Lord, that we would be humble and that we would love you, we would honor you, and we would always glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.